Now, each of us in this room, maybe those of us that are watching online this morning, we would have experienced the reality of different seasons in our lives. Seasons, they kind of come and go, don't they? You know, a little bit like one of the great things about living in southern Victoria or in Victoria, in southern Australia, is that we experience seasons. There's the summer. You know, when the summer kind of rolls around out of the spring, I'm kind of looking forward to the warm weather. And as the summer kind of moves on, if it's been a really super hot summer, you're looking for those autumn, those long autumn nights. That's just, it's so temperate, which we wish, I wish we'd just kind of linger for about 2 months of the year. And then it kind of moves us into winter, and there's those chances where, you know, you kind of curl up under the doona at night time, and that's good as well too. Or if you've got a wood fire in your house, it's going and you're enjoying all of that. And by the time winter's kind of come and done and dusted, we're kind of ready for that. We're moving into spring and seasons. You know, we enjoy the seasons. The reality is that we all have seasons in our lives as well too. Sometimes there's seasons of transition, a little bit like Dave and Dawn. They're transitioning from this place into Barranduda, and there'll be some change in that season that will kind of take some time to get used to, and there'll be things that might even be a little bit unsettling in some of that transition, but we've all experienced the same thing. You know, sometimes our seasons can be really tough and difficult, and you know exactly what I'm talking about today. You know, seasons, they kind of come and go. Sometimes they are long and challenging, they're drawn out. And other times they're short and they're exhilarating. One of those mountaintop seasons or experiences. And so as I'm speaking, you know, you're probably thinking about all the different seasons that you've experienced or encountered, or maybe the season that you find yourself in right now. You know, we aren't the first people to have ever encountered a season or the seasons in life, because if you went back 2,000 years ago and had a conversation with 11 men at the end of Christ's resurrection and ascension, they were in the midst of a season. A season, you could call it a season of change and transition. See, Jesus had told them to wait right there in the city of Jerusalem and to go nowhere else but to wait in this season of change and transition for the gift of God's promised Holy Spirit. You know, one of the unique things about the season that we might find ourselves in, as much as there's some sadness with Dave and Dawn moving on, and excitement as well too, we're excited for them. You know, we find ourselves as the church in a period of time, if you follow a liturgical calendar, between the ascension of Jesus and the birth of the church some 40 days later with the coming of the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't tend to focus a great deal in that period of time. It's not so much our tradition. But the day of Pentecost, some 40 days after the ascension of Jesus, also after his resurrection, really ushered in this whole new era into the life of the church. If you were to think about the Godhead, God the Son, God the Holy, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, God the Father kind of featured a lot in the Old Testament. And then God the Son turns up and he becomes the focus of kind of what's happening in the nation of Israel at that point. And then when God the Son leaves, we're introduced to God the Holy Spirit, who really becomes the emphasis and the work of the church right through that next period of time, right down through to this day. And so Jesus urged this group of men not to go anywhere, not to do anything else, but to wait right there for the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And today, if we know and love Jesus, we live with the reality of God's Holy Spirit, not just within us, but alongside of us. What do we know about the Holy Spirit? You know, if we were to kind of camp in this for a moment, and I had you share around the room for a moment, well, what are some of the thoughts you've got about the Holy Spirit and questions you've got? We'd have a plethora of different things that people would ask and talk about. But who is this Holy Spirit? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be pushing into a little series called The Names of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the best ways in which we can come to know who the Spirit is to dive into the Scriptures and dig around and grow our understanding of who this Spirit is. But as we do that, it is also our prayer as a teaching team here at Bendigo Baptist that as we come to know more of the Spirit, that we would also experience personally and the powerful work of the Spirit as we look at some of these different names, as we think about the work that he does in us, through us, and for us through those different names. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, let's just kind of camp in this space today just for a few moments and remind ourselves of who the Spirit is. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just an it, or it's not just some powerful essence that's intangible that sits out there. The Holy Spirit is an actual person that the Scriptures do talk about. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, we're told that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of creation. See, the Spirit was right back there in the book of Genesis. But as we read through the Scriptures, we discover the Spirit of God is an actual person. The Holy Spirit is an actual person who has emotions and feelings, has a will, has thoughts, and is actively engaged and involved in our lives. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead. There is God the Father, there's God the Son, there's God the Holy Spirit. And as the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit has a particular role or function. Whilst he is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, he has a distinct role that he plays as the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was thinking about that this week and thinking through, how can I best conceptually depict the personhood and the work of the Holy Spirit? Now, I don't want this to be seen to be demeaning, but the best thought that I could have in this moment, I don't know whether I was hungry, but it was a pretzel. I thought of Wetzel's pretzels. Now, that won't mean anything to anybody who has never lived in the US, but Wetzel's pretzels is a pretzel chain in the US. And as I was thinking about the picture of the Godhead, I thought of a pretzel, and I thought, you know what? This is a good example of what the Godhead looks like. And pretzels, let me just go there for a moment because I've got to go there. It's the best thought. There's nothing better than a hot, fresh pretzel that's come straight out of the oven, that's covered in a bit of butter, and then it's tossed in cinnamon sugar. Man, that is handmade goodness right there. That is a recipe for a disaster if you eat too many of those. But think about a pretzel for a moment. You see, the first hole in that image is not the same as the second hole. And neither is the second hole the same thing as the third hole, but this entire pretzel is linked together by the one piece of dough. And you see, in a similar way, although it always falls short a little bit, but in a similar way, this pretzel depicts the way in which the Godhead works. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all linked together and they all share the same divine attributes while still being three very distinct persons with three very different roles. And the reality is that Jesus gives us the best description of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit that we see in the Scriptures across four chapters. We get it in the Gospel of John. In reality, what Jesus is doing is he's preparing his disciples for the fact that he is about to soon to be arrested, he'll be crucified, and he will no longer be with them. Yes, he was resurrected and he spent a few short days with them before his ascension, but he's prepping them for the reality that he is about to go. His physical presence is going to be gone from them after 3 years, and he knows that they're going to have to adjust to this new way of life and living and doing ministry without his physical presence. In John chapter 14, Jesus says to his disciples, we often hear this read at funerals, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." You know, he's preparing them in this moment for the reality that he's going to go, but that he is also going to come back again. He's talking about his second coming. He's going to come back. But in the course of having this conversation with them, in John chapter 14, he says these words. It's on our screens. You might have your Bible. It's in the NASB translation. There are more updated translations this one, so it might sound a bit different, but this is what Jesus said. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper of the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and will be in you." We'll just pause there for a moment. See, Jesus knows that his friends are going to be deeply troubled in just a short period of time, and so he introduces them to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through this phrase, and they had never heard it before, the phrase, another helper. We're going to explore the Spirit's name, helper, in just a few moments, but let me just kind of camp in this space of the word another for a moment. See, Jesus used this one word, another, for a reason, which reminds me that there is no word in the Scriptures that is superfluous, that has, you know, that could just be dropped out because it doesn't really seem to be important. I mean, you could say that, you know, Jesus could have said that, hey, I'm going to give you a helper soon, but he uses the word another, and he uses it for a real reason. See, in Greek culture in that period of time, there were two ways of talking about another, or there were two different ways in which you could do that. Well, Jesus chose a word, the word for another, which means exactly of the same kind. What he was saying in that moment was that that God was about to give this group of men, he was going to send somebody to them who was exactly like them, like him, to help them. He sought to assure his friends that even though he would no longer be with them physically, God would send someone who was just like him, identical, to be with them in the everyday moments of life, in the minutes, in the hours, in the days, in the weeks, and in the years, somebody just like him who would be with them forever. And then as he introduces the Holy Spirit as this another, he uses the word helper. And he actually calls him, he calls the Holy Spirit this word on four occasions in John 14 through 17. We don't have time to look at it, but I want to encourage us that today we'd go back and we'd maybe read, or even across the course of this week as we set ourselves up over for this series, that we would kind of push into that and kind of read what Jesus says. But I'll give us just a bird's eye view for a moment here. We just read a moment ago in John chapter 14, verse 16, where he said, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper. Then 10 verses later in that same chapter, Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of what I said to you. A chapter later in verse 26, so it's this ongoing dialogue that they're having together, Jesus said, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, namely the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify about me. And then finally in John chapter 16, in towards the end of this conversation, Jesus said, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am leaving. Imagine what the disciples are thinking in that moment. What do you mean it's to our advantage? Where are you going, Jesus? We don't want you to go anywhere. We spent 3 years with you. How can this be to our advantage? But Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am leaving, for if I do not leave, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Now, over and over again, we see Jesus using this one word, the Helper. In the original Greek language, that word helper means parakletos, and it is rich in meaning because it references one who can come alongside of another to help or to assist. That's what the word means. So you think about it. Think about what Jesus did physically for his disciples when he was with them. When they spent 3 years ago, when the disciples were hungry, what did Jesus do? He had means and ways of providing food. He helped them when they were hungry. You think of the story, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus miraculously provided food. He was able to help in that situation. When the disciples were tired and weary, Jesus would help them by finding places in which they might rest. When they were afraid and feeling a little bit fearful of what was going on, he would step into that situation and would help. I thought of the scene this morning on the Sea of Galilee while Jesus was asleep in the boat and a storm came up. I mean, imagine being out on Lake Eppalock and waves that were big enough to swamp your little tinny. And where's Jesus? He's up the front, curled up on a pillow, having a little nap, while a bunch of us are in the tinny are feeling a little overwhelmed, feeling like this is going to capsize and we can't swim, we're going to drown. And what do? The disciples, they go up, they grab Jesus. They said, Jesus, wake up. Do you not know what's going on? What's he do? He steps into the situation. He helps. He calms the storm. Jesus was always at work helping the lives of the disciples. But now he's about to go. And no longer is his physical presence going to be in that space to help them. He realizes they're going to need somebody else. And so he promises them, he says, that my Father is going to send a helper. That they would have the help or the assistance of the Holy Spirit. You might have noticed already that in your translation or in your device, it's a different word there. Instead of helper, maybe it says comforter or counselor or advocate. Or if you've got the Amplified version, you can go to that. It gives you a whole bunch of different names that fall into that. And there is a reason for that. You see, the Greek word parakletos encompasses all of those helping words, depending upon the uniqueness of the situation. So what that tells us is that the Holy Spirit as the helper, he can flex. It's a flexible term that reflects the Holy Spirit's ability to adapt to the situation and to provide whatever help is needed in whatever situation the disciples or we might be facing today. And the helper that Jesus introduces us to in this book of John is also, we're told, he is also close enough to help us whenever and wherever he might be needed. In John chapter 14, verse 17, Jesus said, you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. See, the Holy Spirit isn't just some essence that sits somewhere out there that's a bit intangible that we really can't quite know. Jesus said he would not only be with you, alongside of you, but he is inside of you. He can help in any way it's needed because he is a non-material being. Let this just kind of run through your mind for a moment. You know, think about when Jesus was here, when he kind of moved and did what he did. You see, he was fully God, but he was also fully man, which is a bit of a mind bender right there in and of itself. But Jesus was limited in what he could do in his presence as fully man. He had physical limitations. He couldn't be on one side of the Sea of Galilee and on the other side of the Sea of Galilee all at the same time. He couldn't be in the boat dealing with the help that was needed in that situation while being somewhere else helping for the needs of somebody else. You see, he was limited physically even though he was fully God. He was a physical being, but not the Holy Spirit. See, he is a non-material being who is present everywhere, at any time, able to flex and to do and respond to whatever is needed, whenever, however, or whatever, in whatever situation. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, can do all of this and so much more. You see, he can be helping me while he is helping you and a whole bunch of other people here in this room and around the globe at the same time. He can be advocating for somebody whilst he is providing counseling or comforting, bringing the comforting presence of his Spirit into that situation. He can do all of those things. And if you and I have been saved and we have trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, then we actually possess the helper within us. That is the reality. We don't need to go looking for the helper. You know, we're not having an Easter egg hunt. You know, you're out there looking for the various Easter eggs. We're not out there sniffing around trying to find the helper in our life. We're not trying to do enough good things for the helper to come and live with us and to be alongside of us. We don't have to be baptized into the helper. The reality is that the moment that we come to faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. And the Word of God says that the Spirit of God comes to live and to indwell within us. We have the helper. That's wonderful news. And yet sometimes I fear that we don't live with the wonder and the power of all of that in our lives. It's like we know that here, but we don't live with it right here. You see, this is true. It is quite possible for us to know the helper, to have the helper, but not to tap into the power of the helper for our lives. What do I mean by all of that? You see, we only get to experience the helping work of the Spirit as we align and abide with the Spirit. In other words, helping is accessed and experienced through abiding. You know, we talk a lot about abiding here, but maybe we don't talk about it enough. As disciples, as people who are following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, who are committed to the mission of Jesus, what brings the change in us? What brings the transformation? Well, yeah, the Spirit of God does do that. When we come to faith in Jesus, you know, we move from darkness to light just like that. Our lives are instantly changed. Our sins are forgiven. We have Jesus as our advocate who is always advocating on our behalf. Yes, all of that happens. But there is something that continues to keep happening in our lives as we walk and abide with the Spirit. You see, our lives, there's a maturing that happens in our lives. The Spirit of God is at work. His helping work, it's the helper, he is fleshing out his work in our lives. He is changing and transforming us. But that helping can only be accessed and experienced as we abide. John 15. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He talks about abiding in me. It's this abiding relationship that we have. What's the best way in which I could illustrate that for us today? Can I knock this over in a minute? I've mentioned this before, but some of you might have missed out on this. I'm going to mention it again. Abiding is a little bit like drinking tea. I pulled a couple of tea bags here this morning, and I just thought I'd illustrate that for us as well too. See, abiding is like letting the tea bag sits in a pot, glass here for your sake, in a pot of boiling water. Now, this is maybe going to be a little bit harder for you to see here in this room, but you know, as those tea bags, as they sit here in the water, you can see that the water is immersing the tea and the water is taking on the essence of the tea that's in those bags. And if you really want a really good cup of tea, you'll let the water, the tea bag, sit in that water for quite a period of time because you like good, strong black tea with a dash of milk. Or if you don't like good, strong black tea, you might kind of pull those things out really quickly and that's all you're going to get. Sorry, didn't mean to do that. But you know what? Sometimes, and I'm using this, and I know the illustration breaks down a little bit, but sometimes we have a visiting relationship with the Spirit of God that lives within us. Instead of walking intentionally in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to align His heart with our hearts, when we come up against different things, instead of just trying to solve them ourselves, you know, we try and solve them ourselves, we wonder, well, what's God's viewpoint on all of this? You know, that's what it looks like to live in that space, to pray without ceasing. It's the abiding work that's going on. But sometimes I fear that we have a visiting relationship. And so we kind of access the Spirit, and then we're kind of out of it for a little bit. And so we might access and visit with Him on a Sunday or in a weekend service. Or we might open our Bibles once or twice a week if we're really good. And we'll kind of dip into some of that. And we wonder why we are struggling in embracing the helping work of the Spirit for our lives. See, it makes sense to me when I think about what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, where he talks about the importance of walking in the Spirit. See, the last time I thought about it, and I don't know whether you can see this now, but you can see the color starting to change, can't you? You know, the last time I thought, walking. You know, we can know a lot about walking, and we all might know some people that like to walk. But when you think about walking, walking is something, it's an action. Some people might sit around thinking about walking, but if you are somebody who walks, then it involves putting one step in front of the other. You actually have to do something about that. That's what it looks like to abide in the Spirit. It means that it's an action. You know, yes, you today could sit here and you could listen to me and you could grow in your understanding of who the Spirit is and you get more knowledge. And so there is a passive engagement with the Holy Spirit. But if we want to know and experience the helping work of the Spirit in our lives, then we actually have to engage. There is an action that's required. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing, to walk in the Spirit. Jesus urged his disciples to abide in the vine, to remain connected to him through the Spirit. There is an action that kind of goes along with all of that. And so for us, helping is accessed and it is experienced through abiding. We must move and walk with the Spirit. We must choose to engage with him in an intentional, ongoing way as we pursue the Spirit's presence in our lives. And when we do this, here's the reality. You and I, we begin to experience the helping work, his helping work in and through our lives in ways that maybe we've never experienced or even imagined. You see, here in this room this morning, and maybe in the lives of those that are watching online, there will be stories that sit out there. The real stories of different seasons in your life where you have been leaning in, you have been walking with the Spirit, you have been praying in the Spirit. You have been accessing all of that, and you have seen the work, the helping work of the Spirit in a very strong way in your life. And there may be others of us sitting here today who are thinking, yeah, it's not been my experience. And in those moments, I think sometimes we've got to hold a mirror up and say, well, why is that the case? Because the Spirit's there. It's not like he's gone for a holiday and we've got to go and find him somewhere. The Spirit of God is there, but we need to access the Holy Spirit. So what does all of this mean for you and me today? Well, I want us to remember that the gift, this gift of help, was given to us from God to help us. The Holy Spirit wasn't meant to be just somebody who was far removed from us. It's like a companion and a friend. You know, think about this. You know, imagine a couple living at home who cohabitate in the same house but rarely talk to each other. That would be sad. You know, they might have a meal together, but they don't talk much together over a meal. Or when they watch TV, one goes into another room and the other one watches in another room. They both know each other and they cohabitate. They're in the same house, but one might have a different bed to the other. That would be sad, wouldn't it? And yet sometimes I fear that's the way in which we treat the relationship that we have with God's Holy Spirit. We just don't know him. So what's that mean for you and I today as we think about this promise that Jesus gave to his disciples and then to us? You know, maybe today here in this room, for some of us who are watching online, we need to embrace the comforting work of the helper, of God's Holy Spirit. See, for these disciples, the presence of Jesus left, but the Spirit of God was given to them, so his presence was amongst them. You know, I think one of our seasons as we think about winter, one of the things that we love is we love a doona, which we kind of snuggle up under. You know, there is a comforting presence that goes on with that. Well, in a similar way. See, maybe there are individuals of us in seasons today where we find ourselves struggling and we need the comforting presence. We need to access that. We access that through abiding, through leaning in, through walking in the Spirit and accessing the comforting presence of God's Spirit. It is there for us. Or maybe for others of us, we need the advocating role of the Spirit. You know, when we came to faith in Jesus, what does Jesus do? What did he do in that space? He stood in the gap. And it's as if he spoke to the Father and said, Father, God the Father, these ones are mine. Yes, there's a picture or an image around what's happened in their lives, but they have sought my forgiveness and my blood covers over all their sins, and so I advocate for them. See, that's what an advocator does. It's a bit like in our legal system when somebody, the defense lawyer, advocates on behalf of the person who is accused. Maybe you need an advocator in your life today. Because the reality is we have a spiritual enemy that wants to isolate, who wants to condemn, who wants to push us into those different spaces. But we have an advocator, the Holy Spirit, who advocates on our behalf before the presence of God. Maybe that's what you need today. See, do you need the help of the Spirit? See, He promises to help us. See, if you're here in this room and if you feel like you need some encouragement today, you know, it's the dynamics of your situation, the season you might find yourself in, and you are struggling just with the weight and the burden of all those different things. And the Spirit of God, He is right there within. If you know and love Him, He will bring encouragement into your life. Or if you find yourself struggling with depression and your outlook on life, the Spirit of God is right there as well too to kind of speak into those moments for you. Or if you're feeling lonely and wondering whether anybody else cares about who you are, you have the Spirit of God, who is not only alongside of you, but inside of you. We just need to appropriate it for our lives. The Spirit of God was given to help us. See, if we know and love Jesus, that Spirit lives within us. But if we don't know Him, or if we're not willing to abide and to walk closely with Him, then we're going to struggle to access the help that He's given to us. Jesus said to His disciples, and I'll finish with this. He said, "I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, so that He may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He remains with you and He will be in you." Do you know the Holy Spirit today? Well, if you know and love Jesus, His Spirit lives within you. And He's willing to help. You know, as our worship team comes back up this morning and as we finish our final song together, there's an opportunity for us to respond in this moment around what that looks like for us. Because I know in a room like this and to all those that will be watching online that we will be in seasons. There will be seasons dotted all over this place today that we find ourselves in, that we're struggling with, we're trying to move through, we're overwhelmed by. And God has said to us through Jesus, He has given us the gift of His Spirit, but we need to embrace His help. The helping work is accessed and experienced through abiding. Let's do that today. Let me pray for us. Father God, this morning, thank You for the gift of Your Spirit. Thank You for the work that You've done in and through and for us by giving us the gift of Your Holy Spirit. And Father, today I pray that Your Spirit will be moving powerfully in our midst this morning, in the hearts and lives of people that are here in this room as we gather together and as we think about the teaching that Your Son Jesus has given to us. Father, thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You for the difference that Your Spirit makes. Thank You for the help. Thank You for the comfort, the counsel, the advocating role of Your Spirit. Father, many of us here in this room today need not only a fresh reminder of Your Spirit, but we need to take a hold of Your help, the help of Your Spirit today in our lives. Father, for those who are really struggling this morning, who are thinking about situations in their lives, in their families, who are wondering where help is going to come from, Father, thank You that Your help comes from You, from Your Holy Spirit. Father, for those of us who maybe feel like giving up today, who feel alone and isolated, Father, thank You for the gift of Your Spirit. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would fall in fresh ways in each of our lives, that we wouldn't just know Your Spirit, but would experience the daily work and transforming power and presence of Your Spirit. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.